informational item, because it's such a large amount that when it's lumped in with National Treasury's budget, which is in fact a lot smaller than the equitable share, it would skew any analysis on National Treasury's budget. The other direct charges are, for example, the debt cost, which is also National Treasury account. There are direct charges for the President, Deputy President's salary and the Presidency, members' remuneration, Parliament, the Fuel Development Programme, labour, and judges and magistrates' salaries. So in general, it is the direct charges account for salaries of particular elected and appointed officials in general. Your other question about the 15% benchmark that I chose. Now, I actually, there isn't any particular significance to that, Honourable Member. It was, when I looked at the numbers as they were presented there, I wanted to point out, it seems like that was a good couple, basically. There were quite a few that were over that benchmark. And so in fact, you know, I'm not sure what the right benchmark is to select for any particular analysis that a portfolio committee or another committee might want to select. Because it's also part of the reason why I itemize the RAND amount in terms of the differences, because sometimes a small percentage in a large budget might, you might want to focus on that because it represents an important understanding an important program, or as a percentage, it doesn't necessarily raise alarm bells, but as an amount, it's large enough to be concerned about. But you'll see there are two departments that would have missed my overview that were right under the rest, minus 14%, for example. And there's no reason why that wouldn't also be as interesting to focus on. So it was really just to pull out examples.
So it depends. It depends on the particular portfolio committee to choose a benchmark. I would satisfy when you say it's minus 8%. I would satisfy if it's 4%, minus 4%. So where must we, you know, have a particular benchmark to say if it's below or above this, therefore there's a problem with the spending of that particular department?
Yes, exactly, I remember. It is discretionary line in the sand that depends on the focus of the portfolio committee. Again, when you are able to dig into more detail below the vote level into the program, you might identify that understanding is occurring in the focus of one program that is of important significance, maybe in the priority program, or it's part of the plan of action, and then it just depends. I'll tell you that when we talk about the, we share the report that is going to be produced for the Joint Budget Committee, which is a customized version of the of National Treasury's internal in-year monitoring system. The benchmark that is requested, whereby departments need to explain variances, is 8%. And I'm not sure if I can tell you if that is specified in CFMA or any statutory. I think 8% that has to do with when variance is not violent. 8%, any deviation in spending of 8% at the program level needs to be explained when a violence is requested. So that 8% might be a good benchmark, because it is one that talks to violence where departments have to actually request additional funding in a certain program that is in excess of 8%, whereby any mouse over there cannot just be transferred between programs. I'm going to let my colleague Lizrock answer the question about the projection that you raised. When the department has an actual spending of 20 but a projected spending of 21. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let Lizrock get into that because it sort of depends on the time of year and whether that's going to be a projected overspending in total on the total budget rather than just a monthly deviation.
Thank you. I will try to answer the last question if I can. Firstly, on the question of projected pain itself, we've raised it numerous times in our various forums at the National Treasury that in some cases, the commercial departments are only doing for compliance purposes projections, meaning they're taking the budget that's left over for the financial year and divide it by the amount that's left over. So there's now a real focus on projections. So I think that's the question that needs to be asked, you know, to focus on projections and going forward and to ask where is really the situation within the department at this stage. Although for the first few months of the financial year, you cannot really work on projections because projections are made with the background of possible adjustments of the adjusted budget. So until the adjusted budgets are passed, they could be projected over expenditure against the main budget, but there's reasons for it.
Okay.
In the case after the adjusted budget and there's still a projected over expenditure, that's why the highlight report is there for. Departments must then use this report to see what they can do to prevent over expenditure. If a over expenditure occurs against the adjusted budget at the end of the financial year, then the PFMA explains then that it should then be an unauthorized expenditure and then we'll go through the processes to get that authorized, but that's a different process to be followed.
Excuse me, just a moment. We know that we've got busy stuff here. Briefly, we are running a workshop as members of parliament. We are trying to refine our method of monitoring government budget. There is a committee, a joint budget committee, and other committees of parliament sitting in this workshop. We welcome you all, learners and your educators. We hope we'll see you in future as being managers in this institution, and perhaps some of you being members as well. You're welcome. Please proceed.
Thank you, sir. Okay, then I want to refer you to slide 25 in your presentation, your presentation annexes. Now, this further explains the issue around projections. And currently, we are really taking this up with provinces, but they should really focus on projections. As you can see there, let me explain this table quickly to you. If you look at 2067, the column may actually expenditure as percentage of appropriations. Now, that one is just showing spending trends against the budget. And on the left-hand side, you will see as at end of April, as at end of May. So the spending trend as at end of April in aggregate all provinces was 6.1%, and then going up and up till end of March, 98.7% of the budget spent. If you we look then at the next column, preliminary under over, or your under and over expenditure. This is then, as of the end of April, in aggregate, provinces projected to underspend their budget by 496.8 million. That change, as of end of May, it changed suddenly to a negative or to a projected over expenditure on the main budget of 440 million. So between 2 months, the projected outcome against the budget swings to 8 billion, 800 million or so, and it's even getting worse. If we go to June, it's 2.2 billion projected over expenditure on the main budget. It's going up and up till end of October, 5.6 billion projected over expenditure on budget. And then, what we realize is that it could be that provincial departments inflate their projected outcome so they can get more money in the justice budget. That may be one reason why. And then, we see after the justice estimates process, if the projected outcome against budget is going down, negative, and then in 6 and 7, as of the end of March, the actual expenditure for the financial year in aggregate for all provinces ended with an under expenditure of 2.4 billion against the budget. So, on that question of this honourable member that, you know, on this projected outcome, it is a challenge at this stage, and I think that is one of the questions that should be asked for provincial departments. Is this really a true reflection of how your department will spend for the financial year? And, that, and because the in-year monitoring is a tool to determine what will be your projected spending during the financial year, where will you end up, and to do something about it, if there's some challenges in there. So that's why it's so important that the projections are of quality and to make these decisions.
What is there any available tool that has the number of parameters could use to determine the inflation? And if you determine that this particular department has inflated in this particular field. No. Because my worry is that if there is not a tool of that nature, this tendency is going to continue. You know, and departments are going to be over budget for something that they are not going to do and waiting money that could be directed somewhere that is in there. So is there any tool that we can use as a most part of it to track the inflation of budget? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. There's not really a tool available, but let me show you an example. That's called in provincial education. Provincial education budget, 80% of that is driven by personnel expenditure. Now, I've looked at some provincial education departments and specifically looked at the personnel expenditure line. If you look what is the expenditure by month for, say, for the first 5 months, you know, it's more or less the same, maybe not because it's personnel expenditure. Except if there was a lot of people appointed in 1 month, then there might be a huge deviation. But generally, the personnel expenditure by month is more or less the same. But then we noticed that if you look at the projections, that the projections is way out of what's, you know, it's not making sense. Especially, I've noticed in one province in the education department that they will follow the same route, you know, just with more or less same projections and spending that path. But then suddenly in March, the inflation will maybe double. You know, so it's showing not an over or under expenditure. So that's one example that you can look at. Why is there suddenly such an increase or decrease in expenditure for that month, particular for personnel? What's the reason behind that? It's not making sense. So that's one example. Another example is maybe for goods and services, also in education. Goods and services, most of the goods and services budget is for learner support materials. So you will have those things at the beginning of the financial year, but by around about November it should pick up, because it's then when learner support materials provided for schools for starting up a new school year. So that is just a few examples. So maybe you should go and for your specific sector that you're responsible for, try and identify what is the items that's important for that specific sector and when more or less that expenditure is incurred. And then maybe by looking at the projections, maybe then ask questions around that. Then let me go then to the next question about rollovers. What we mean by anticipated rollovers are that, you see, as we see here in this table, there was an aggregate funding expense of 2.4 billion in 2014. So it means that there was a budget for some functions or for some, that there was no spending occurred against that. Now, it could be various reasons. And according to the Treasury regulation, the parties can then, with the next year's adjusted budget process, apply for funds to be rolled over if they can provide enough evidence that they will definitely spend that money and in the next financial year by indicating that those funds are committed. In some cases, I know, like specifically in capital. In capital, you know, they're projecting to pay certain projects at a certain time. But now maybe there was some delay in the contract or some, you know, something came up. And then it was projecting to pay that contract in March, but now because of delay, the contract is only be paid in the next financial year. So it means that funds are committed, but was not paid in that specific financial year because of these reasons. Now it's up to the provincial treasuries and the national treasury to decide if they want to improve that rollover or not, based on the information provided to them. So that's where the national treasury comes in, you know, based on that, if you apply for rollover, then based on that, the treasuries will then make the recommendation to roll that fund over and then appropriate the adjusted budget. Then the next question on the equitable sharing commission grant. Provinces got three main resource envelopes, or in their resource envelope, there's three types of first is the provincial, is the equitable share, which is unconditional. So that is the share that's about 85% of the provincial budget. Now that provincial services can allocate that according to their discretion. Okay. Then you get conditional grants. Now conditional grants is a specific project or specific priority that was identified, and to make sure that it's implemented, the national department will then receive that on its budget and will then transfer it from there to that particular provincial department. The national department then will play an oversight role to see whether the provincial department is implementing that provisional grant. So there's conditions attached to that budget. The province or the provincial department is responsible in executing the function, with the oversight of the National Department and ring-fenced budget. That's what the commission wanted. The third resource envelope is its own revenue, but it's about 3% of provincial budget. That's the unrevenue generated then by provinces, of which the largest is vehicle licenses, health patient fees, and so on. If you go then to the question about the flow of information on commissional grants, I can refer you then back to slide 16. Slide 16 of the annexure presentation. Firstly, this is according to the CSMA and Division of Revenue. Secondly, there's a purpose behind that. And I think the chair of the Collection Ministry of Finance can agree with me on this. That's the information that the National Department are providing with respect to commission grants to the staff, different from what the provincial treasury are providing to the Select Committee of Finance. So this is the reason why what's broken into the Division of Revenue Act, that provincial departments are reporting to the National Department and to the provincial treasury. And we've got systems in place now to monitor that spending and support to national authorities and the provincial treasury. In some cases, provincial treasuries are telling me the numbers. I'm not saying it is so, but it happens not now because the systems that we've got in place. But that was so they at the end we're sitting with two different sets of numbers at the national treasury. So we then made this part of the Division of Revenue Act, this flow of information, so that the National Treasury can monitor what national parties are reporting to National Treasury and what provincial treasuries are reporting to National Treasury. If there's any variances, then we will ask the questions why and what is the correct expenditure for that specific commission grant. Okay, now the issue of the health claim. The budget that's shown there for health claim is the conditional grant portion. Okay. The provincial road and transport department in health claim budgeted 4.5 billion for health claim for the financial year. 1.5 billion of that is coming out of their equitable share. Okay. Now, according to the department, that they will first pay the health claim against the equitable share portion, the 1.5 billion. Currently, the spending on the health claim, as at the end of August, is at 1.2 billion. Once the equitable share portion of 1.5 billion is exhausted, spending will then continue against the conditional grant budget, which is 3.0 billion. So that is for now why there's no spending recorded against that conditional grant hard claim. And for purposes of that, because it's such a big budget for hard claim, they excluded it out of the 6.7% to show the real trend, spending trend of conditional grant. On the comprehensive agriculture support program grant, provinces are reporting to their expenditure against the grant to us. Maybe I should just rephrase my statement. According to the Division of Revenue Act, it's not necessary to publish Schedule 4 grants. Now, there are certain conditions against for Schedule 4 grants, and then there are certain conditions for Schedule 5 grants. For Schedule 4 grants, it is not necessary to publish the information, although provinces are reporting to us on those conditional grounds. Okay, on the...
What would be reason for this from a firing of a force.
Yeah.
From a treasury point of view, is there any good example of why?
Well, actually, all what the Act is saying is not necessarily the public domain that the experience for shadow for now.
Let out the possibility of Solomon, maybe we look into the changes of the law.
Yeah. Why would Alan be prefer free flow? Yeah, we'll come later.
Thank you. On the title for capital, the payment for capital assets is on the next presentation, Shadow slide 11. I just want to explain that the projected outcome at this stage forecasted 566.8 million rand under expenditure against the budget. Currently, provinces have spent 5.9 billion, which is 32.9% of the main budget of 17.9 billion. Now, again, it brings me to the projections here. For the past few years, although there's quite a good increase in the spending capacity for capital, the projections on capital are not, not really showing the actual projected outcome at this stage. Now, but together with that, as I said, 380 million was unspent last year for capital. So, if you take that into consideration, if it rolls over, then your projected other expenditure may drop to 200 million. But again, according to our analysis of our few financial years, normally capital always ending up with unexpenditure, although that unexpenditure is every year smaller due to the increase in spending capacity for capital. Maybe when we go forward, I will show you a study on that. I think I tried to answer all the questions. Let me stop there.
Yeah, before that, can you just can we come back to the to this issue of the schedule program? The initiative to why it is that the accountability is a bit blank.
I think what we would need to do is that we will have to, in our meeting in chamber, in consultation with Chesterton, or put for the committee, committees, we will have to recommend what should be done. Because it's our responsibility to do so. So I think we need to close it by saying we will take the recommendation.
I think on you never asked about a particular oversight model that is, are you referring to, if you could clarify the oversight model that in the feedback that you in terms of department's financial
how to flex whether you can fix that kind of discipline. When you see a problem of understanding or overstanding, you then fix it within government, but can you put up a attention to a type of discipline, whether by a self-identity or whatever.
Yeah, if we could come on board on the last question. See, honorable members, part of the report and document that I in front of you, especially this one, it appears it is sent to the Joint Budget Committee on a mandate. We consider this mandate and report to Parliament quarterly. So every month we consider this report, but we report to Parliament quarterly. In our own way, at our meeting, we also highlight some of unusual expenditure, judicial over expenditure or unexpenditure. So as some of these departments or even the bill came with a special adjustment. So some of us, it was not that bad. We had highlighted the two parameters by way of our report. And when it came with, oh, okay, that was what we expected it going to work. We, if you can just go back and check some of our reports and the joint budget, you might come up from some of those recommendations. But it hits back again on the issue of our communication
cycle to look at.
there is, we're talking today about the inner monitoring aspect and at which point here it has become more and more important and more useful for financial oversight. And, you know, just broad brush over answer is to say, certainly after the adjustment budget towards the end of the fiscal year when these numbers really start making sense, when the departments are projecting the next 11 months at the beginning of the fiscal year, it's very hard to draw conclusions from deviations in April and May and June. But it becomes more real when there's only 3 months left in the fiscal year and the department is still saying they're going to spend all their money in a projection, but you look at the actuals and they're only 40% through what they're spending, then you start being able to really interrogate some of that, some of those answers and question that a little bit. But it's certainly something that portfolio committees do need to apply their minds to. The Joint Budget Committee, I'm not going to speak for them, is also working on what's the, you know, where is the best opportunity for the intervention and for the discussion. So that's the documents that are tabled, the strategic plan and the budget and the annual report, can all provide those kinds of opportunities. The feedback process, we hope that we can add to this quickly, that we talked a little bit about when in the in-year monitoring process, when a projection shows something, shows that based on a trend, there might be overspending or underspending, then bilateral meetings do take place between Treasury and National Department to dig into that issue, because they are being brought up through the monitoring process. And the provincial, if it's seen that, well, towards the end of the financial year, when that might actually be, when the expectation becomes a potential reality, the environment has to be requested, and that, you know, legislators, or not legislators, but it's a statutory CFMA requirement, it's an 8% variance, and money needs to be moved between programs. There's that feedback loop. There is unauthorized expenditure feedback loop. There's the rollover feedback loop. So those are all statutory. Then, I'll let Rick talk if he needs to add, but at the provincial level, there is quarterly CFO meetings with all the sectors. All the sectors with their agencies and the provincial treasury and CFOs from each of those sectors come to a national treasury or national treasury goes out, meets with the CFOs, meets in that financial forum to do just that, talk about what the numbers are saying and get the kind of feedback in an informal setting from provinces about what the status. So, I guess the answer is there's multiple feedback loops that are ongoing, some statutory and some that are just driven by the reaction or reacting to a particular deviation or what variance that shows up in your monitoring system.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll continue now with the presentation. I think let's see where we are. We're starting now on page. We're going to talk now about the specific report. We stopped just after I completed the overview of the Section 32 report. The next report, there are four or five reports that we're going to go into in detail. These are reports that are tabled or are presented or are provided to Parliament in some form or fashion. Probably some understanding of how that process works, where these reports land up in Parliament, in what analyzable format they come in. If they're just paper-based or PDF, it's hard to break that out. It might be easier for a committee to have an Excel document in some cases so that analysis can be performed more readily. So there, we need to probably get a better idea of how that is working, what is the point of entry, so that if something comes to Joint Budget Committee and or to another committee on its own, maybe that if it's an important piece of information or report, it might be shared more widely, and again in a format that's more readily reviewable. I'm looking, we're going to talk a little bit now, starting on page 10 of the presentation, at the projected cash flow expenditure report. This report slide 10, you've got two slides per page. So slide 10 in the presentation, the title Projected Cash Flow and Expenditure Report. I also want you to try and find in the handout that has the Section 32 report on its cover, if you page to the second report in that package, you'll find an Excel printout of an Excel document that's got in the top left corner April cash flow estimate, which is Section A. It looks like this in the one of the report examples. This is a report. It's made up of two sheets in an Excel document.
That's
good. Yes,
in the middle of the document.
After the section 32 report.
Yeah, in the middle.
There is no page on this copy.
An extra A on the right.
Anisha A, top right, and April cash flow estimate, top left. You can find that. This is a report that was requested by the Joint Budget Committee of the National Treasury, I think in about July, June or July. And it was provided to them, it will be provided to them on an ongoing basis as part of reports that are going to be going to the Joint Budget Committee that provide more of the detail. Now, this is all detail that really is presented in the Section 32 report at a high level. We're now getting to the stage where we're able to provide in an Excel document Parliament with some of the details that inform that consolidated national report. This report shows the by vote the cash flow projections for the year. This projection covers the entire year, but it was actually developed in June, or at least revised in June, because projections are revised from time to time by department. So it provides a snapshot of projected cash flow needs and expenditures per month for the fiscal year. On the second sheet, we have a projection of expenditures. The first sheet is cash flow, and that can be used for National Treasury to determine what are going to be the cash flow needs of departments in terms of the amounts that need to be transferred to the paymaster account. The second page shows the expenditure. You'll see the first three columns, April, May, and June, show that those are that actual expenditure. This is because the projection was revised in June. It was the first 3 months are then fixed for actual expenditure, subject to the changes that might take place when the audit takes place at the end of the year. But at least we should call that as preliminary outcomes for the first 3 months. The next 9 months, from July to August, is the projected expenditure for the department, for the bank. And it would include transfers to public entities and to provinces. It includes all the economic, the different economic classifications. You'll see in the total column, for example, based on this projection, government is anticipating an overspending of 6 billion rand. That is 536 billion minus 530 billion as budgeted. However, already when this report was produced, there were some amounts penciled in, so to speak, for amounts that would be requested in the adjustment estimate. And so those are, whether or not those have actually taken place could be assessed once the adjusted estimate finally is tabled and passed by Parliament. So when you include what is likely to be including the adjustment estimate, which was 2.1 billion, if you're looking at the bottom column, the third from the right, 2.145 billion, you get to an amount of 533 billion. So the deviation there, based on the projections in June, would be 3.7 billion rand overspending. Luckily, these are projected expenditures, because we would be very concerned, it's a concerning number, obviously, and it's something that does get attention, to see where the expenditure projected actually comes in line with expenditure that's actually expended in terms of actual. So, you can look per department, which departments may, in fact, end up having an overspending. But it gets to this issue of the reliability and veracity of projections, which is something that is an ongoing effort to improve for all departments and provinces. And my colleague talked a little bit about that at the provinces. It will also talk a little bit about projections for provinces when Rico presents the similar reports that we get for provincial departments. So the real purpose is for...
An example of one department.
Okay,
let's take labor.
Department of Labor. Okay. I, in going over it, I just focused on the bottom line numbers, but let's do vote number 16, Department of Labor. 12 months worth of information is provided for both actual expenditure and projected expenditure per department, as you can see. For the Department of Labor, the actual expenditure for April, May and June is spelled out there, 562 million in April, 387 million in May, and 1,051 million in June. The rest of the months, following 9 months, are projections. And I'm not going to go through each number individually, but you can see for each month there is a projected expenditure. And you can also see that projected expenditure does not vary very much. Obviously there isn't a percentage here to show the difference from month to month. But it is a lot more constant, let's say, than the first 3 months when you're actually looking at actual expenditure. And that may or may not be an issue of concern. We have projections because they are the best guesses. They are the best that the department can do looking into the future, but there are always unforeseen circumstances. But in the first 3 months, for example, the Department of Labor, monthly spending varied greatly from 500 million in April to 1 billion in June. Yet the rest of their projections are really quite constant, varying between 600 million and 750 million, so a much smaller band of difference there. And of course, it's interesting, and that's the purpose of having these projections, is to look at the projection based on the when the actuals are actually come in. And what we would have actuals up to August at this point in time.
For April, labor, like you said, we spent 562 million. Then for May, 387. It went down. For June, it's 1 billion. It went up. You see, that's inconsistent in the activity. That's what they have already spent. But when you go back to the cash flow on the other page, on the previous page, it says in April, they expected to spend 1.1 billion, but they spent 562. In May, they expected to spend 627 million. They spent 387. I'm just trying to link the numbers so that members follow you as you continue with your work. Okay, you may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for pointing that out. I wouldn't have even seen that because I wasn't looking at the cash flow estimate. But as the co-chair correctly points out, this is the value of this kind of reporting, potentially to show these differences. And I'm not sure, I can't say sitting here, how much was transferred to the PNG account from the National Revenue Fund to the Department of Labor. So it's possible that the entire amount of $1.1 billion was transferred and less than half of it was spent, which then opens up that question of that the R500 million that was sitting in a PNG account instead of the National Revenue Fund, and all the consequences that may have. Now, I'm not going to say that that's what happened. That is a question. It is an open question that this kind of analysis can open up for a line of questioning. Manager, do you want me to go through this further? I'm not going to go through each month. But the totals you'll notice between the expenditure and the one last comment I'll make is that the totals you'll always see do reconcile. So even if, because the projections must be within budget. Now that might differ, that might change as the year goes by and departments get to a point where they realize, in fact, there is going to be some kind of overspending or underspending.
But remember, Robert has indicated that at the end, the total reconciles. Reconciling may lead to, at the end of March or February, having something to say for the number 10%, or transferring the amount to either institutions or provinces or municipalities, so that in their books it will be reflected that they have spent well, whereas that's not the case. They come, the money is somewhere there. That's why it's important for us on monthly or quarterly basis to check what is it in.
I don't understand because you're spending the schedule and I don't understand. If I take, for instance, how we get that 1.3 billion, that's a just an estimate. In other words, that's additional money that's going to come into this report. That's the rule that they understand to be asked.
That is correct. That is an amount that is anticipated, that when this report was developed, was anticipated to be requested over and above the E&E budget. I'm going to move on to to slide number 11 in your presentation pack and talk about the new report that actually is one of the main purposes of us coming here today, because the committee, Dan McCurdy has been working for the last few months on developing a customized report for the Joint Budget Committee. It's customized based on the early warning system, or in-year monitoring system, that goes by both names, that is utilized at National Treasury for national departments. Richard will talk about the early warning system that is used for provincial departments, which is already published and being shared with Parliament, I believe. If you could page, let me walk you through the report that we're presenting to the Joint Budget Committee. Now, this is our proposal. We will engage with the committee about the content and format of the report. And so this really just provides, or the discussion really is focused on the content or the format. And we will have ongoing engagement with how useful this report is and if there is other ways of looking at the information that might be considered. It's the report that follows after the June expenditure projection that we were just talking about, and If you could page to the page that starts with National Department, the first page is actually a technical error in the copying. Don't worry about that. Cumulative cash flow for the presidency, just skip over that and go to the National Department page. It looks like this. It's in the report. Okay, I hope you're all there. This report provides detailed quarterly in-year spending information in a hopefully a more readable and analyzable format. On a consolidated basis, if you're looking at the first sheet, it provides annual spending per vote compared to the budget per vote. And it also compares that those figures for two year-on-year numbers. This is useful because it shows where how departments have increased their spending. For example, that the presidency in 2007 and 8, in the same period of time, they spent 19.9% of the budget, which is an improvement over the previous year at the same period where they only spent 17.8% of their budget. So hopefully that indicates, I mean there could be many reasons for that, and you can go to each department and look at it, but in the case of the presidency, that hopefully indicates a better capacity to spend, which should translate into better capacity to deliver its services, to deliver it on its mandate. And that's really one of the main purposes of that overall departmental specific report. Also breaks down those direct charges separately. And the total at the bottom line, the total again, all of government comparing the year-to-date spending to the budget. On the next page, also looking at national departments, the same number, the same basic bottom line number of year-to-date spending and budget are looked at in a different way, and that is by economic classification. So lumped together for all those. And it breaks down for the first time so those economic classifications in a little bit more detail. In the I believe in the 632 report, those are just presented. They're just presented in the three categories. Now you can see as it's one set detail what those three categories might include. And you can look at the numbers, for example, for transfers and subsidies at the national level. You can see the transfers for provinces, the transfers for departmental agencies, the transfers for public entities, etc. And see that on a total basis. The same applies for capital, the different types of capital that might be included in payments for capital assets. The next page now jumps into the detail per vote. And the presidency is vote one, so it's the one that is shown here this morning in this report. This report that we're looking at here actually looks like this when it's printed out. It's about 76 pages long, and it's going to be provided to the committee in an Excel document. This is all the votes. We're just showing you the first vote of the presidency. So that all the votes follow the exact same format, and hopefully this is still useful, even though we had to make 60 copies for this morning and thought it wouldn't really be that useful at this point for us to make copies of all of that. It also goes for, the numbers in and of itself that are presented here are not really going to be that relevant to the committee because they only represent first quarter numbers. So this was developed in the first quarter and really the purpose is to look at the content and the format and then have an engagement about how useful this might be. Let me tell you what's in here and then maybe talk about still what's not in here because there's still much more detail of the department spending it below the program. And we'll talk a bit about how that might be accessed as well by the committee. We're looking at the presidency. Each vote is structured the same way. It's going to provide, this report provides detail on program level expenditures. Each bank had program one, it's the same across the board in that administration. This will provide a year-to-date setting for that program, the budget for that program, the percentage spent for that program, and that is the actual spending. Then you'll see a year-to-date spending benchmark. That is the projected spending for that program. That is what the department, the tax presidency, had projected for the first quarter that it would spend. Therefore, at the point of 25% through the year, for the first 3 months, they projected they would spend 23.3%. So you can see that the absolute difference between what they projected and what they spent was 3.3%. So there was underspending in that program. You'll see also a column, a wide column that lists reasons for abnormal high or low spending, a variance larger than 8% per program, and that's an absolute value of 8%. Whenever a department has what's called abnormal spending, or just a variance of more than 8% between its projection and its actual spending, then it is asked to explain why that's occurring and how that's occurring, and that will also be provided to Parliament. We're constantly trying to make sure that those explanations are clear, that sometimes are not, and we have to go back and say, well, we don't understand what you mean, and let's get an understanding of exactly what's going on here to see if it's really going to be an issue that's going to impact the entire budget for the vote, because in which case a violent might be needed. A rollover or one of those. Biomes are actually needed when you transfer money or have to move money between programs. Okay. The same table and the same page provides the summary of expenditure for this vote in the various economic classifications. So, for example, for the presidency, one can look at the compensation of employees. The expenditure to date, the available budget, and the percentage of budget that was spent in that economic classification. You'll see there aren't projections because departments are not required to project their spending by economic classification. Let me not say that definitively. I'm going to check into that because I see it's not provided here. I will check into that because I'm not sure. I think at this high level they actually are required to provide a projection, both on the program and the sub-program and the economic classification. So I need to check into that before I state that categorically here today. Finally, on the same page we have departmental receipts. For a department like the Department of Home Affairs or the Department of Health, there are significant receipts that come in, so it's really maybe important to track that. Those are what in provinces might be called own revenue. Of course, for national departments, it's not own revenue. It goes to the National Revenue Fund. But it is, and it's not as a total amount against the budget, all that significant. It's just significant in certain votes, for example, where fees are charged for services like the Department of Home Affairs. And so it might be worth, that information will be provided and it's worth tracking. Finally, the last piece of information that is proposed in this format, yes.
Before finally, members on the same page, when you look at expenditure by economic classification, let's take an example of compensation of employees, because you'll find it across all departments. You'll get, it's 1st April to June, you'll get how much was used for compensation for employees. But it's important for you also to check as a portfolio committee that if this amount is what they expected, I mean, it's what they have spent, actually, what did they expect to spend? Because what they expected is as per the establishment of the department. So if it's less than what they expected, it means therefore that maybe there are vacancies, and you must check that whether they are continuing to underspend, or in 1 month they will overspend, and you would know that they must tell you whether they employed more people, or if it's gone down, whether people have left the department, because it's important for you to know. If they have left the department, who will provide the service if people are leaving the department? Because if you don't check it, come the end of this month, October, when they present the adjustment, they will then go for virement, take money from compensation for employees, and take it somewhere else. So because you couldn't notice it, you couldn't check it throughout their spending, it would be easy for them to take it, shift it to another program.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The last important bit of information that's in this format is the cash flow of the vote, and this will be again provided for each vote. And an interesting line here will be the balance from the previous month and the balance carried over. This will help us if we look at, for example, that case of the Department of Labor. We'll be able to see balance from the previous month, actual drawings from the PMG account, actual expenditure for the month, and then the balance that's remaining going forward. And then the balance as a percentage of actual drawings. You'll see for the presidency in April, for example, that they drew down 24.9 million rand, but they only spent 18 million rand, leaving a balance of 6.9 million rand. That represents 28% of its drawing. It essentially overdrew, well, it drew 28% more funds than was necessary for that month. May's worth at 45%, but you can see that in June, they come back down in terms of the balance and the percentage that represents. So perhaps they had drawn money, and I'm just guessing at this point, drawn money out of the PMG account with the expectation to pay certain costs for certain services. May have been a delay in the delivery of those services to the Office of the Presidency. They had to hold it, and eventually the delay might have been cleared up, and they paid it out in the third month. In most cases, departments, you know, are doing their level best to also keep track of this, especially one as important as the one we're looking at here. This is a department that has good fiscal oversight and management, and so if that was occurring, there was probably, you know, a valid reason for it. And here we have the reasons that have to be specified when it's more than 8% of actual drawings, and this will also be provided. And they say there that the deviation from revised approved drawings for, I'm not sure, okay, for April, yes, was due to sufficient funds available in the bank account, okay. The positive variance is the result. I'm not sure what was the follow-up based on that explanation, sir. But this will be provided to you all as well. And, of course, it comes to us. We'll be providing it on a quarterly basis. And, you know, by the time hopefully it gets to you all, we have already questioned a weak or, you know, unclear explanation. And it might be a little clearer. In some cases, we request that explanation and it's not forthcoming, and then somebody else can help us follow up on that. Okay. That is, you know, going to be the subject for debate and discussion between Joint Budget Committee and National Treasury, I'm sure, over the next weeks and months, weeks, so that we can get in place, we can confirm a document like this that can be submitted on a regular basis, and then be consistent for a period of time where we agree that here's a format, we're not going to change it all the time, so that it's going to be easier to keep consistent the analysis that built on top of some of the information that's provided. And we're looking forward to that interaction and discussion over the next few weeks. I'm going to let we cannot get into the provincial reports, and then at the end I'll come in with a little bit of a discussion of the Vulindlela database that I'm sure most of you are already familiar with.
Hey, thank you. I first want to refer you to the Nexus presentation, slide 18. Basically, if you look at that, this page here, slide 18. It is basically a snapshot of the model that provinces are providing to us on a monthly basis. You will see there, this is a summary version of the Western Cape. Basically, the information that they're providing to us is by department, by program, and then by economical classification for that department.
That's hard. I can see that some people haven't found the place. On the other side is written, at the top, the screenshot, then IYM, that's a fit. That's a fit. Then it's the bottom one. Yeah. Yeah. Then it's the next, just the one below that.
Apologize for the small print, but I tried to get everything on one page just to show you what type of information is required from the provincial treasuries. So basically it's your actuals by month, then your projections by month, and then the actual as at the end of August, projections in going forward, the budget, adjusted budget, and then the over and under. On the left hand side, if you go down here, in this case it's by department, but in the model itself you will get the summary, which is then by department, and then if you go further in the model, the other sheets will indicate it by department, by program. So this snapshot is basically giving you a summary, what is the spending trends in the Western Cape province in this example. If we then can go to slide 20 in the next presentation. Just one page on, so just page on one. Basically, this is a snapshot of what is published in the Section 32 Gazette. This is a snapshot of the first quarter. Provinces are only publishing on a quarterly basis. It's basically two tables per province, and it contains in the first table the revenue received by the province, and that's now your equitable share and your conditional grants. Which is then coming from the National Revenue Fund, and then the provincial own receipts, so the own revenue generated by provinces. And then further on the left hand side is then the spending then by department. If you go then across, firstly it will indicate the annual budget per department by economic classification, which is then your current payments, your transfers and subsidies and payments for capital assets. And then it will also show you the first quarter spending there. And then on the right hand side, the block there, showing the previous year's first quarter spending, and then just to allow the people to see whether there was, what was the spending situation for that same period in the previous financial year. For the second quarter, there will be additional block added there. It will show the second quarter spending and then a year-to-date block. Okay. This is now specifically the publication. This is what is published in the public domain. If you go into the second table, which is just page over, to slide 21, This is a snapshot of conditional grants. It's listed by grants. Then what was the allocation in the Division of Revenue Act? The approved payment schedule. The approved payment schedule is before the commencing of a financial year. In deliberation with national departments, we determine then when these funds will be transferred. So the payment schedule is giving you the exact date when the national department will transfer the money to the provincial department. So this is just to show the approved payment schedule, and then the next column is then transferred from national to province. So then you can look there, if there's any variances there, then the question can be asked, why was the funds withheld? And the national department will then be in a position to answer that question, maybe because the implementation is slow or the business plans are not completed for whatever reason. The next column then is received by province. We put in this column here because sometimes provinces indicating that they have not received the funds, but according to the national department, it was transferred. So now we also then we added in this column here so that you can do a comparison, you know, what the provincial department is indicating as received and what the national department is indicating as transferred. If there is a variance, then it needs to be followed up. One possible reason for a variance can be that the national department transferred it late in a month and it's only reflected in the provinces' books in the following month out of this publication. So that's one of the reasons. But the other reason could also be that it's transferred to the provincial revenue fund, but it's not transferred to the provincial department by the provincial treasury. That could be another reason. So these two tables are physical publication. Now normally we issue, if you go to the next slide 22, we issue a press release together with this publication. Now, if you look in your back, there's a similar narrative report applicable to us at the end of August. Right at the back, it's a circular that I talked about earlier. And just before the circular, there's a narrative report on the provincial spending situation. There's a header on top, provincial budget and expenditure as of 31st August, and then detailed analysis for the first 5 months of the 7-8 financial year. So, in going further in my presentation, I will discuss then the tables that's contained in this narrative report. And also to show you, or attempt to show you what you can look at, you know, to identify certain issues in provinces. But then, let us then go back to the main presentation, slide 13. Main presentation, slide 13. So I showed you the snapshot of the model that provinces are completing on a monthly basis, and then out of that is the only source that we then use for the reports that's generated at the end of each month. The first report is Section 32 publications, those two tables that I showed you, which is published on a quarterly basis. And then we issue a press release that's similar to this narrative report that I showed you. And then we also provide this narrative report with some more detail to some of our committees within the National Treasury. The first committee is the Technical Committee for Finance. That's basically where the DG as the Deputy Director General of the National Treasury of our branch is the chairperson, and the members are the heads of the provincial treasuries. And this is also a preparation meeting for the budget council meeting. Okay? The budget council meeting is where the Minister of Finance is the chairperson and the 9 financial MECs of the provinces are the members. So this report also then a standing item at the budget council, and it's also a standing item then at the President's Coordinating Council meeting. Now, all these meetings are taking place about on a quarterly basis. Now, the President's Coordinating Council meeting is where the President, the chairperson, and then selective national ministers and the premiers of the provinces are the members of this council. So it's also a standing item, this report also going then to that council there. And then lastly, after each quarter, we're also providing a select committee for finance. This narrative report together with the Section 32 publication. So as far as I know, is that on a quarterly basis, we're providing the joint budget committee firstly with the published Section 32 publication, which is those 2 tables per province, the press release, narrative report, similar to the one that updated as of the end of August, and then selective tables, so to allow the members to see some more detail. If we then can go further, now we're going to look at the interpretation of these reports. We're going to decide, if we can go back to the annexures presentation, slide 24. So the annexures presentation, slide 24. Now I've highlighted some of the numbers on here. We already talked to this table earlier, but now I want to suggest what you can look for in this narrative report by looking at the table. If you look at the spending trends across provinces, you see the average spending trends about 38.1% in total for all provinces. If you take, okay, this is after 5 months. If you take 5 months divided by 12, the guide is around about 41.67%. So in the first instance, you can see that spending trends after 5 months is a bit slower as the guide. It's just one thing to look at. It's not necessarily that it needs to be like that, but it's one, especially related to personnel. You can ask that question because personnel is a relative steady expense area that's more or less the same every month. Then if we look at province specific, we notice then that Eastern Cape is at 35.4%. So that's a very low spending trend. Right? What's the reason for that? It's much lower than the national average. And you can also see they're projecting to underspend their total budget by 534.2 million. So the question to be asked is, why are they projecting to underspend? Why is the spending trend so low after 5 months? What's the reasons behind that? Is it because of human resources capacity? Is it because of spending, that there's not enough staff to spend the money, or because of cost containment measures, or what's the case? So you can see that in an aggregated level, you can already ask some questions. Then at KwaZulu-Natal, you can see that they're projecting, or the current spending rate is 40.7%, which is still under the guide, so it's not really an issue. Although they're projecting to overspend their budget by 167 million, but it's a very small percentage of their main budget, 0.4%. So, then in another instance, like Limpopo, they're spending trend is 38.7%, so it's about average of the national average. But why are they projecting to overspend by 555 million? It's 2.2% over their budget. What's the reason? They're sending cases in line with the other provinces, but why are the projects going to overspend so much? In the case of North West, the spending trend is also in the region of the national average. Why are they projecting to overspend 1.2 billion? So, in a snapshot, in aggregate, you can already make some conclusions or questions to be asked. And then the last thing, we also, the last two columns on this table, is the outcome for the same period for the previous financial year. And there you can see with how much the spending capacity or the spending grows from the previous financial year. In this case, spending capacity increased by 18.6% from the previous financial year for the same period. I would suggest that you're not looking at it across provinces because of the demarcation. These year-on-year growth figures may be skewed. For instance, like in Northwest, you see 6.1% year-on-year growth, but it doesn't mean that the spending capacity decreases, or if you look at it against the average of 18.6%, it's just a matter of they're losing a lot of money because of the demarcation. Okay. So the suggestion is not to look at, you can just look at it out of the view to see what effect the demarcation has on provinces. But if you want to look at that last column, rather look at it in total to see, okay, the spending increased from 67.7 billion to 80 billion in provinces if you compare it with the same period of the previous financial year. So now you can immediately make some assumptions by looking at the overall picture. Now if you go into slide 26, into the detail, like in education. Okay, the one thing that's standing out here is Northwest Education. So this is discussed in our Budget Council PCF meetings, and there's currently discussions ongoing between the National Treasury and the Northwest Provincial Treasury to address this issue. The main reason for this is there was some miscalculating of their personnel numbers within the education department, and that's the reason why. And also, we also looked at the total picture for the Northwest province. If you look at that, you can see that in some departments, the spending trend is very low, so it means they've got too much, the budgets are too big. So they basically, what we suggest in the Northwest department, in total, things look okay, but it's just a matter of realigning their budgets through the adjusted budget process to cater for this over expenditure in education. And you can see the projections are quite in line for Northwest because the spending trend at this stage is 46.1% as of the end of August, whereas the guide is 41%. So in health, we can see here that currently there's four departments that's projecting to overspend. It's quite a, it seems in last year four health provincial departments overspent their budgets. And it seems this problem to be repeated for this financial year. So it is then suggested from our side to that provinces should relook at their budgets and to cater for this through the adjusted budget process. If you go then to social welfare services, our concern there then is the low spending. If you look at the spending trend, although there's a huge year-to-year growth in spending of 27.1. Yes.
Can I just highlight something to members on health? When you look at the over and under spending, it says Eastern Cape under spending 274 million. And you check vis-a-vis problems that they have right now in health, then you ask yourself, but why should they be the case? If they underspend, while the Asura's challenges in here to provide services. And I also wanted to refer you to Northwest, that there will be an understanding on education. Yeah. No, overstanding. Yeah. But when you look at that overstanding on education, you ask yourself, because so many people went to housing in the Northern Cape, why should they be overspending on education? While many learners have gone to housing in Northern Cape, and educators as well.
Now, Chair, the yeah. other thing that I want Treasurer probably to help us, you say the Northwest, there was wrong calculations on the personnel there. I don't understand that. Maybe it would help us. In the line of what Comrade Mab is saying, and then you can't go wrong in calculation of the personnel unless you just pillage and plunder and pay anybody. Or you don't pay people, they go on strike. But you can't go wrong on the but I just want to understand that.
Thank you, ma'am. What I actually want to say on that issue about Northwest, it's basically the redemarcation. There was uncertainty how many teachers and learners, or how many personnel for education will come over with the redemarcation process to the Northwest province.
So, Treasurer, my understanding, in all the problems around the demarcation, it is that if you go to Northwest, that is not affecting any other thing, even the burden of health. We've made it to understand that doesn't affect that. But what I'm reading out of you is that as soon as there is a demarcation, some other things get affected. And the teachers also become part of being affected on the whole issue of demarcation. If there are teachers in Gauteng who are supposed to be taken to Northwest, or teachers from Northwest to Gauteng, is that not addressed immediately when the demarcation is done? Say, we have 200 schools now that are falling in Northwest that have come out of Gauteng. And therefore, effectively, the demarcation says those number of teachers are in the Northwest, and therefore the salaries of those teachers will follow them in the Northwest. And it can't have a problem of Northwest have miscalculated. It's a question of how they transfer that money to, unless they have not transferred that, and therefore they had to burden their own salaries on that thing. But if the demarcation is affecting either personnel or is affecting the health costs and all that, then the demarcation is wrong. It is not done in the way that it is explained to us, because you can stay anywhere in South Africa, but you are burdening some of the other people anywhere in South Africa where you can stay.
Yeah, Comrade Comfort, Northwest overstated their teaching personnel or their education personnel with more than 2,000. That was different. And, yeah, they overstated. But during the demarcation, they knew how many teachers and learners are in Mabopane, Harangua, Hammanskraal, who will go to Gauteng, which means Gauteng must overspend. And actually, they shouldn't overspend because the money must be transferred from Northwest to Gauteng. So these are the questions that we need to ask the department so that they can explain to us.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, so, you know, if you look in that narrative report, the part of the sectors are even broken further down. Like health, you will see what the personnel health numbers, and also on capital, you know, what situation of capital within health. So we can look in these in this narrative report also, if you want to go deeper in a specific sector. So in social welfare services, as I said, it's quite a low rate of spending at this stage. It could be numerous reasons for that. A lot of money has been given to social development for social welfare workers. There's quite a huge vacancy rate at the moment of social welfare workers, And that's one possible reason for the strange year. Again, you can look in your narrative report here. There should be a table on... No, that's not. Okay. Again, that could be one of the reasons why the spending seems so low in social welfare services. If we look then at the aggregated personnel picture for provinces, if you look at the spending average strength, it's 39.8%, which is quite close to the 41% guideline, so it means that difference there could be vacant posts. If you look at province-specific, most of the provinces are in line with the national average, except maybe in Mpumalanga, that's at 38.7%, as well as Western Cape. So the question to be asked is that is because of vacant posts that are not filled, or is the over-budgeting of personnel, or what the case may be. Again, in the projected over-expenditure, provinces already include that additional 1.5%, so the budget does not cater for that 1.5% increase, so this will be rectified in the adjusted estimate. So national will provide provinces with that additional 1.5% through the adjusted estimates process. So that projected over-expenditure is not a real concern for now. If we then go to capital, we can see here by looking, if you compare the 5 months as at end of August 2007 with the previous financial year's 5 months, you can see it's a 31.5% increase in spending. It's 1.4 billion more that they spent at the same period last year, which means that the initiatives that was put in place by the National Treasury and other stakeholders, there's definitely an enhancement in infrastructure delivery. If you look at by province, the spending trends at this stage, again, low spending rates in Eastern Cape, 27.3%, also indicated what they're projecting to spend for the financial year, that they will end up with an under expenditure. In Western Cape, you can see they currently have 43% the spending trend against the budget. So, it's above the national average. They're also indicating that they're going to overspend. So, what are they going to do around this? Have they held funds available from the previous financial year to be rolled over? Or is it because of fast-tracking of projects? So, various questions can be asked. Within the National Treasury, there's also a division that's dealing with infrastructure reporting, where provinces are reporting to this division on a quarterly basis. So the possibility is to look at those reports and maybe you will be able to pick up the issues around there.
Chair, with your permission?
No. Can you just continue?
Okay.
I'm starting to get worried about time, and I was about to ask Richard to speed up his presentation. Yeah. So, bear with me.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am. Commission grants, we already talked through that, so I'm not going to speak to that. Then, quickly on non-financial, this is not really my field, but I just want to indicate to you where we are at the moment. If we go to slide 18 of the short or of the main presentation, so slide 18, and then I also want to refer you to slide 35 and onwards of the annexures presentation. Some time ago, a month or so ago, there was an assessment of what is the state of implementation of performance management concept. If you look at slide 35 in the annexures, the implemented performance management processes, you can see it was 100% implemented in the sectors as showing there. What it means then by implemented sound performance management, it means then the sound performance management principles. This was done in together with the national department and the provincial department through the CFO forums, where it was agreed on these principles. To go to slide 36. This slide is basically showing the performance measures for non-services delivery departments, the standardizing of that. And we can see there what the process there at this stage, successfully implemented in most of the non-service delivery departments, except those in Liaison, which is due for 2009 and 10. Now what they mean about this is basically the identified key performance indicators. So basically the national department together with the provincial departments on the CFO forums that sit together and then discuss what is the most appropriate key indicators in this sector and what should be used to measure that. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about, and this is just to give you statistics how it is implemented in the provinces. If we go then to slide 37, there's some sectors that want to improve the current performance measures. And so you can see what is the status now and there of sectors that are reviewing their current standardized measures to improve current performance measures. So I will leave it in there, then just a summary where we are now with regard to the performance, provincial performance process. Oh, okay. Yeah, with the provincial budget and expenditure review, last year we published this non-financial data for the first time. The quality or the numbers are very soft at this stage, and the quality is very poor for that was published last year. This year we published again the provincial budget and expenditure review on the 5th of September. The quality definitely improved, but there's still a lot to do around this. Currently, it's also a main point on the agenda of the Budget Council meetings and the President's Coordinating Council to improve the quality of the non-financial data. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. I'm not going to take questions for now, members. Let's quickly get input from Robert.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I've got one slide. I'll cover it quickly, and then we'll wrap up. I just wanted to talk briefly about Vulindlela. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. The last three pages in your annexes handout provide screen prints from Vulindlela, that you might look at the same time. But basically what it is a central repository of very detailed spending information that is accessible to public servants of all stripes. I know that if you don't have access, you can request access through the National Treasury. We have an entire unit that is actually offered in Centurion outside of Pretoria that manages the Vulindlela database. But it brings together a vast array of information related to the government's finances. And so the first page just shows a drop-down menu in on the web, which is how you access Vulindlela, of the types of reporting that are currently available in Excel. The next page shows an example. This is an example of a report that I was able to produce for the Department of Arts and Culture. Because Vulindlela allows you to download the entire monthly spending of a certain department or vote or provincial department, because it provides national and provincial, it allows you to access spending for that department at a very detailed level, based on the standard chart of accounts breakdown of spending, down to, for example, this slide talks, gets into the detail. Once you're able to sort of analyze the database, this is really something that your staff would probably have time to do. It doesn't take advanced Excel skills. A little bit of Excel knowledge can allow you to dig into the information. This second last page shows a pivot table in Excel where I was able to dig into the details of transfers to public entities for the Department of Arts and Culture, and so which is often a key area that, of oversight. And this shows the transfers per public entity per month up to June. And these are all the public entities. Now, this kind of information is very unlikely to be available in a report that can ever be printed and produced for parliamentarians. There would be thousands of pages if that were for each department. But the point is that wouldn't be useful anyway. It is available and accessible, probably again by most appropriately by members of your staff. Because it's not instantly intuitive. I know that training is provided by National Treasury through the Bull and Lella Group on an ongoing basis, and that is a well worthwhile effort to train to attend. The last page that I'll touch on shows a detailed breakdown for the same department at the item level 4, which is really the detail of current expenditures for the Department of Arts and Culture. So you can look at that and get into a lot more detail than goods and services and compensation. It really breaks down that goods and services into these categories. And so, for example, if one wanted to review travel and subsistence or the usage of consultants and contractors, you can at least get the financial figures around that. Now, you would have to bring the department to discuss with you exactly what that contract might include, because we don't have a detailed information on the purchasing system on site. This is something that is being worked on through the integrated financial management system upgrade that is currently underway, whereby purchasing information will be available, so you'll actually be able to find expenditures per contract. But that is at least 5 years away, unfortunately. At least this provides some of the detail that probably is going to be necessary to dig into when you dig into the high-level reports that we've described here this morning.
Thanks very much. Members of the public, this is the Joint Budget Committee and other committees. We are looking at spending by department. Thanks. Let me take questions quickly. Members, will you please be specific in your questions, so that we target at 1 o'clock. It's already 1:05. The question, Honorable Kasenyani?
Maybe it's not a question because we don't have time, Chairperson, but a proposal maybe to your committee that the Treasury, I think it will be important for the Treasurer to appear maybe to the day before each committee. I know it will be a tough time or a rather difficult task, but to appear before the portfolio committees twice annually to deal with specifics of under and overspending and the reasons for it. That would be my...
Thanks, Honorable Member. Any further comment? We will make a follow-up. We will make a follow-up as a committee on what processes should we follow to ensure that we have, we fit into portfolio committee work. We will look into it, then we will come back to you. What there are no further comments. I understand that you are now under time pressure, but from the co-chairs, let's thank you very much for having attended and being part of this engagement, and we hope that in future when we call you again, you'll be available. But it's unfortunate that it's difficult for us to arrange such type of an engagement during other days of the week, because committees sit on other days. That's why we are forced to do it on Friday. But maybe we can look into, maybe at the chairperson's committee, into how we can make it, you know, possible that more people will be able to attend. So thank you very much for having attended, and there's lunch outside. But the committees that we have invited for the MTBPS, please, we are still making that plea that please be available so that we can have joint meetings, and so that we can have, you know, more light into what is happening in your department, because what they tell us is not what they tell you. So it's important for you to be there. Thank you, Mr. Treasury. We know that you are busy with the MTBPS preparations, and that's why we could be reasonable that even if two people come today, it's not a problem as long as we can go through today's process. So thank you very much. A lunch is available outside. Is it in the restaurant? Old Assembly Restaurant. Oh, outside. Yeah. Thanks very much. Thank you.